Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here for another episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Now, before we get into our interview with our wonderful guest today, I just wanted to make a couple of quick public service announcements. The first announcement is that we'd love you to come and join us and continue the conversations over at our Facebook group called The Savvy Dentist, which is, of course, the sister Facebook group to this particular podcast. And equally, we'd love to let you know about the app that we've created. It's available on iOS and Android, and it's got all of our content there, blogs, podcasts, and other things there for you as well. So it's all the Savvy Dentist stuff, one easy spot in your pocket. So you can get that, as I said, for iOS and Android. So please do take advantage of those things. We'd love to see you in those forums and, of course, continue to have some conversation with you about all things relating to the business of dentistry. Now, my guest today is a marketer by background, and what she's actually done, I think, is really, not just really clever marketing, but I think it's got great soul about it. Carolyn Butler-Madden is the founder of Sunday Lunch, which is a marketing consultancy that actually specializes in cause and purpose-led marketing. So what she does is she aligns brands with a cause, and that happens in a way that unlocks both the brand as well as social value so that the business is doing well commercially, but also doing good in the broader community, which I think is a really wonderful thing. She has a book, it's an Amazon bestseller, and it's called The Path to Purpose, and indeed it is Australia's first book on cause marketing. So, Carolyn, welcome to our show. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Jesse. I'm really pleased to be here with you.
Oh, so am I. I wanted to talk a little bit about cause-related marketing because in the world in which we live, it sometimes seems that we can get caught up in the day-to-day activities of ourselves, worrying what's happening in our own lives, and we forget, firstly, just how lucky we are. We live in one of the luckiest countries in the world. We're incredibly blessed, but there are millions, if not billions, of people living in the world who are not as lucky as us. So I wanted to talk to you about what was the impetus that led to you to pivot out of that commercial marketing, that agency style marketing, to something more cause and purpose driven?
Yeah, really interesting question. I think probably need to go back a bit because I always grew up with a very strong social purpose, or just a strong social conscience, really. And that was due to my mother instilling it into us in a really young age. But I fell into the agency world of marketing. So the two are pretty incongruous, really, if you think about it. But I fell into something that I loved and I was really good at. And so I went through my life. I spent 10 years in London working in the agency world. And I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago, my agency here, I had my own agency here, we did a cause marketing campaign for a client for the brand H2Go Water. And it wasn't the first time I'd done it, but it was the first time we were able to measure it and put the results down 100% to the campaign. And the results were amazing, not just in terms of sales, but also in terms of brand health. So what I mean by that is you can measure how people trust and relate to the brand. And the scores went up by 60%, which was phenomenal. And so it was in that moment that I suddenly thought, wow, maybe I could bring the two things together. And in 2012, with that in mind, I took myself off to Chicago to the world's biggest cause marketing conference. It's now called Engage for Good, and I've been a couple of times, and I sent one of my team. And it just, Jesse, it completely changed my way of thinking. Over there, even back then in the US, they were doing things so strategically and you could see the win-win value and it was phenomenal. And I just came back a bit of a raving evangelist and I did try to steer my agency down that path. But in Australia, the market wasn't ready for it. And eventually I decided I could see things changing in the last few years. And I decided 18 months ago to make the change and jump in and walked away from the agency world and realized that the only way I could do this was really to start on my own without having to pay employees' salaries, and B, to be able to not be a competitor to agencies out there, to advertising agencies, but rather be able to collaborate with them and partner with them and help them serve their clients. And so that's what I've done.
Firstly, congratulations. I think that's really a wonderful thing to do, which I'll come back to in a second. But I think that fresh start is perhaps starting with a blank canvas, not having to turn and steer a ship that's already in motion. You've got blank canvas from which you can begin. So I also know that it takes a lot of courage to do that as well. And I'm sure there'd have been a few moments of, oh my goodness me, what am I doing? There's no script for this. There's no playbook. How do I make this happen? So kudos to you, my friend. Big leap of faith, big heart and mouth. And I know it's going very well for you. So congratulations.
Thank you. But it's also, I think when you, and it goes to the heart of what I do as well, when you believe in what you're doing and you're really driven by a purpose or mission, which I am, which is to put social purpose on the business agenda here in Australia, of course it's hard and you question things, but it just gives you this energy that I've always been energetic in my work and I've always been absolutely committed, but this is another level. Yeah, it really drives me.
So that's fantastic. And I wanted to ask you about that because it ties into the fact you mentioned that in 2012, the Australian business landscape wasn't quite ready for the concept or the idea of relating marketing and doing good in a social sense. So are we ready now?
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt.
What's changed?
I've seen a real shift and it's been driven by the younger generation. You know, people talk a lot about millennials and people, a lot of frustration about millennials and how their expectations might be a bit over the top or whatever. But I've got to say, and I shared that to a degree. I've worked with so many millennials, but I've done a complete 360 because they are driving change that is so needed in our world, I believe. And that's change in culture in work, and it's also change in the way we do business and the way we market ourselves. And I think not just millennials, but people generally have discovered they've got power in their purchasing, you know, in their wallet. They have the power to choose which brands and which businesses to support, and they're now doing it. And as more brands and businesses appear that actually either have social purpose integrated into their brand, or businesses that are doing good, and I'm talking about small, medium and large businesses that are doing good and creating a social impact and involving them in creating social impact, they're moving towards those businesses. And you can see it with the rise in brands like the Thank You Organization, or have you heard of Who Gives a Crap? Toilet paper.
I have heard of Who Gives a Crap. First time I heard that business title, I have to say, I chuckled heartily.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a social enterprise and it's a subscription business. So they've really sort of just disrupted the toilet paper industry. But a lot of people, I've been hearing more and more people are flocking to the brand. So
yeah. So the interesting thing, sorry, just to talk about toilet paper for a moment, which is a first for this particular show, I might just say. But I remember years ago, if you wanted to do good with toilet paper, it was all about buying the eco-friendly type of toilet paper, which, you know, we all understand and that's great. But generally, the complaints about that particular toilet paper was a little rough on the delicate parts. So there is another way that you can do good with your toilet paper, and I think that's a really good way to go because it's a win-win. The consumer wins, the business wins, and, of course, the cause wins. And I think that's really the essence of your work, isn't it? It's about, you know, making sure that the cause, yes, gets a win, but so too does the business and so too does the consumer. So I wanted to talk about the concept of everyone winning because if everyone's not winning, no one's winning, right? And so it's not sustainable.
Exactly right.
So I wanted to ask you if you could give us some examples of where this might work because there'll be some people listening to the podcast in the car, I should say, not listening to their car, but listening to this podcast in the car And it's quite understandable. We're quite familiar with the notion of supporting charities. We're quite comfortable with donating this or that. But I think for many people listening to this podcast, this will be a new concept of, wow, my business can actually prosper as a result of this. It's not just me donating money or donating time. It's about creating a commercial outcome as well as a social outcome. And I'm wondering if you could just provide some examples of the work that you do just so people can get their head around that.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll give you an example of Allphones. Actually, no, I'll give you the example of Caltex because I can talk through some of the other benefits through that. So we developed a campaign for Caltex a few years ago, and they actually came to us with their cause partner already decided, and that cause partner was Make-A-Wish. So Caltex wanted to look at how we could support the partnership and fundraise and leverage it to get business outcomes like getting people to come to the Caltex store. And if you think about it, petrol and convenience, it's a really tough category because you probably, Jesse, when you're driving, you probably stop at the same one or two petrol stations, and it's based 100% on convenience, which side of the road it's on, convenience to your home or work or whatever. So we ran the campaign, which was joined the StarMart Wish Drive. And one key point I want to make in this is a lot of people still think of cause marketing as, okay, I support a cause, how do I tell people about it? And I challenge them to think differently, because it's no longer today about marketing in general, I believe, isn't about the brand being the hero. It's about making your customers the hero. So if you can define a social impact goal and then invite your customers, your employees, and your partners to collaborate with you to achieve it, you're going to achieve so much more in terms of the goal, but you're also going to achieve more engagement with the people you involve in it, because it's people want to feel good about themselves and what they're doing. So it's not just about making the brand the hero. So we turned it into a fundraising campaign. And basically, we had Caltex's suppliers came on board, so businesses like Coke and Cadbury and, you know, all the products that are sold in a Caltex, they came on board, and they donated a percentage of sales to Make-A-Wish. But we also did driveway service days and galas. So you could, if you're driving by, you would see balloons out there, sausage sizzles, celebrations happening, and go in and you could get your windows washed, your tires checked or whatever for a gold coin donation. And it all culminated on Wish Drive Day, which is when people came on board and they had community fundraising and sausage sizzles and face painting and even petting zoos on petrol forecourts. And, yeah, that's how Caltex supported it. We also leveraged their partnerships and just every relationship they had. So one of the things that I talk about is consider your ecosystem as an asset that you can use in your cause marketing. So whether it's your product or service and your people, your communication channels, use everything. So to give you an example with Caltex, we obviously used their forecourts. We used their customer service attendants to promote it. And the feedback we got from them anecdotally was it was one of the best things they'd done, because it gave them an opportunity to talk to their customers about something that they were in together. But we also used for them their partnerships. So, for example, they, at the time, I think they were sponsors of Essendon Football Club, 888 Racing, Craig Lowndes. So we tapped into all of those things, and partners will help you when it's for good. They won't help you necessarily just to promote your brand, but when it's for a good cause, most people are going to jump in, right? And so Essendon opened up their database, we promoted on their website, Triple Eight Racing, the same. Craig Lowndes, he was amazingly supportive, and we used his social channels to get on board. And Caltex had, I think we, our goal in that first year was to raise $100,000. And we raised over $400,000 in that first year.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. And then subsequently, so it was a campaign and it turned into an annual campaign, which they just refreshed. And in subsequent years, it went up to $500,000. So that's one example of what we've done in order to leverage win-win.
So I think that's really incredible, because typically there's been this, I suppose, polarization. You can be involved in business or you can be involved in doing good. And there's this, you know, never the twain shall meet kind of routine that some people seem to perceive. But what I really believe, and I think what I'm hearing you say very loudly and very clearly, is that we can harness all of those relationships. We can harness that ecosystem, as you call it, and do something magical and do something that benefits other people and benefits the business. And I want to ask you, this is going to sound like a bit of a funny question, but I think it's an important question. How did you feel when you got engaged in that work? What was, because I understand the commercial payoff, but I'm really wanting to understand the personal payoff.
Do you know, that's a great question, Jesse, because it changes everything. You feel like, as I said before, when I fell into the agency world and doing what I did, I loved the intersection of creativity, strategy, and results. I got off on it. But when I discovered this, it brought meaning into it. It was real. You knew that you were doing something that impacted people and genuinely helped people rather than just selling your product or service or whatever. And I'll take it one step further. When I started down this path and, you know, we started doing some cause marketing campaigns, the effect it had on my team was phenomenal. I could see teams that were working on a cause campaign or a cause program were so energized. When a problem came up, they were just mission to solve it however they could. And not to say that the other teams weren't engaged, but you could see there was a completely different energy about it. And from a personal perspective, it makes a world of difference. From an employee perspective, it makes a world of difference. And from a customer perspective, it does as well.
So, okay, I think there's a few wonderful threads I'd love to pick up there as well, Carolyn, if I could, because we've spoken about the commercial outcomes for the business, we've spoken about the social outcomes, and we've already just touched on the personal benefit for you as the owner. And you've just highlighted the staff engagement thing, and we all understand that talent recruitment can be tricky, retaining good people can be tricky. Where I live in Canberra, recruitment is particularly tricky because we're competing with the government in terms of trying to resource our businesses. So I wanted to ask you what the effect it has had on staff engagement, staff retention, because we know that from staff engagement, staff retention comes productivity. So I wondered if you had any stats around that.
I have a story I can tell you about a campaign, which is a big campaign, a global one, but I think it's still relevant because you can see how you can take the idea behind it and scale it into a smaller business. So is it okay if I answer your question that way?
Please do.
Have you heard of the nappy brand Pampers?
Yep.
It's not here in Australia, but it's a global brand, Procter & Gamble. They started a campaign back in, gosh, I think it was 2006. And funnily enough, they started it as a promotion to drive engagement and sales in a period pre-Christmas where it was just down and people bought the cheapest brand. And they partnered with UNICEF. They were an existing partner and they obviously wanted to make sure that the campaign was aligned with their brand. And their brand was all about Pampers Cares for Babies, Happy, Healthy Development. So they partnered with a program that UNICEF were running to tackle maternal and neonatal tetanus, MNT. Every 4 minutes, a newborn baby somewhere in the world was dying due to tetanus.
Wow.
Like due to unhygienic birthing conditions, for example. So the campaign they ran was one pack equals one vaccine. Really simple, really beautiful, really emotional, with real emotional resonance to a new mum, as you can imagine. And so every pack you bought funded a vaccine produced, distributed to and administered to a baby. Long story short, that campaign has now been running for 12 years. What started off as a promotion, they quickly realised, I think it took them a couple of years to realise they were sitting on something huge, and I'll come to the employee engagement piece in a moment, but they realised that they could actually do something significant, and they set themselves this huge goal to eliminate MNT from the world. Now, the last results I saw on this was that they had funded 500 million vaccines, and they had eliminated MNT in 20 countries.
Wow.
This is a marketing campaign, right? And it spawned an employee engagement program. So actually one thing I should say about the campaign is I heard Procter & Gamble person talking about this at that conference I went to in Chicago, and she was giving a speech about it, and she said this campaign delivered the company's highest sales results and market share results of any Procter & Gamble campaign globally. So
huge.
And social impact. And the employee engagement program basically enabled employees to go out into the markets and help UNICEF with the program. So to administer the vaccines or be part of that distribution process. And to work with UNICEF and help them in their other marketing. That program, that employee engagement program, is oversubscribed and has attracted some of the best people to Procter & Gamble globally because of that. So that gives you an example of how a cause campaign can become a long-term strategy and attract customers and inspire and unify your people around a bigger vision.
Look, I think that's incredible, isn't it? What a wonderful example, one pack for one vaccine to eliminate and eradicate tetanus in newborns, I think is, wow, what an impact that is. And obviously, there's so many benefits that come from cause-related marketing and engaging in that kind of activity, because we've spoken about the commercial elements, we've spoken about the personal elements, we've spoken about the impacts, but there's really nothing bad that comes from it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to do. There's no downside, which is rare, really. So I love the fact that this is all upside and nothing to be lost in the process. This is a really good thing to be doing. And I guess the extension of that point is there'll be people listening to this podcast saying, wow, this sounds amazing. I want to get involved in something like this. How do I integrate this into my business? What practical steps can I go through to integrate some form of cause into my business? And some of these businesses will be larger, some will be smaller. But if someone was listening to this podcast asking that question, what would be your advice to them?
My advice would be, if you can find something that is strategically aligned to your business and your brand, so that just makes sense, so there's some credibility. You can actually go to my website, and I've got a video on there, so I can send you the link, but it is a really simple tool that I've developed to help you find what I call your social purpose sweet spot. So it enables businesses to identify what cause or social purpose they can align with in a way that's credible and authentic. And yeah, so I can provide some notes to go along with that. To help manage that process.
Thank you, Carolyn. That would be wonderful. And ladies and gents, if you are looking for that website, it is sundaylunch.com.au. It's a fantastic website, of course, and there is some really cool stuff there. I've trawled through it from top to bottom. I'm very abreast of what's on that website, and I'd really encourage you to go and check out all the resources there. Some really good articles, actually, as well, so which I read in preparation for today. Carolyn, you've been incredibly generous with not just your time today, but incredibly generous with the work that you do. And firstly, let me salute you, because I know that the work you're doing is really important on lots of different levels. It's really important from the social impact perspective, but I think it's also really important for businesses to achieve a commercial outcome, but more importantly, to change the way that we view business and the way that we see the world, because I'm very much of the view that business is indeed a force for good. It can be a force for good, and I would love that to become the norm. I'd love that to become really mainstream, and I think the work that you're doing is incredible. I think it's invaluable. I think it's much needed, and I really resonate with what you're doing. And so I just want to say from all of us here a huge thank you, and may your work continue for many, 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 many years.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. That means a lot to me. And I think, yeah, a parting thought is just there are so many upsides to this, so many from a business perspective, personal fulfillment, customer engagement, brand differentiation, and social impact. Explore it. Find your sweet spot. It'll change so much.
Yeah, and not only all of that, it'll change yourself. It'll change the way you view the world. And I think we've got so much to be grateful for in our world. We are incredibly blessed. And isn't it nice to be able to share those blessings with others? So I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Carolyn, I really do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. Have a tremendously successful 2019. I'm sure you will. I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing what you do throughout the year, and would love to get you back on the show to talk a bit more about some of the things that unfold and unravel throughout 2019.
Thank you so much, and all the best for 2019 to you and your listeners too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.